Guys, welcome to World Cup Coffee Chat episode 2. This one is a legit morning recording. Last time I kind of cheated a little bit. That was like 3 p.m. when I decided to sit down and do that. But it is actually morning now, and I've just finished watching Australia 2, Turkey 0. I'm going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Haitians for a little bit. We're going to talk about Brazil, Morocco a little bit. We're going to talk about my biggest opinion update so far from the World Cup. And then I have a little extra smoke for the Swiss, because how could I not? I'm still irate by the result of that. Is it amazing for Asian football that Qatar got a point? Is it amazing for Qatar? Is it amazing for my GOAT, Akram Afif? Yes, yes, and yes. But is it more embarrassing for Switzerland football than it is positive for Qatar and Asian football? You bet your ass it is. Today's coffee chat is brought to you by FanDuel. And if you guys don't want to miss more World Cup content here on the channel, including my live watch along later today for Japan versus the Netherlands, then make sure you hit subscribe. Let's just recap everything that happened yesterday. It was insane. These 4 game days as a content creator will be the death of me. My girlfriend's going to leave me. My mental health will decline. I will be fully gray by the end of the World Cup, because this was crazy, man. I had to start the Qatar-Switzerland game an hour early, and I could just never catch up after that moment. But anyways, you guys probably don't care. Qatar won, Switzerland won, Brazil won, Morocco won, Scotland defeated Haiti 1-0, and Australia beating Turkey 2-0. Very quick thoughts once again on Qatar-Switzerland. This was 100% more a Swiss fumble than a Qatari masterclass. However, with Australia's performance and the result last night, Asian football looks like it is up tremendous right now. Obviously, South Korea beat Czech Republic, and that was a completely deserved. If we're talking about this, like, has Asia deserved the results they've gotten so far? Because they've gotten 7. I would say that 2 wins were deserved. I do not think Turkey did near enough in that game for you to say, oh, the Turks were the better team. Better team for what, man? Free kicks and shots outside the box? Welcome to the Aussie experience, mofos. This is exactly what I tried to tell people about Australia from the beginning. I would say maybe the most disrespected team going into the World Cup. Ironically, it was them and Paraguay. Now, who made me look better? Who made me look like a buffoon after match day 1? Well, we all know the answer to that. This is why I have said from the beginning, Australia will be tough. This is why I've always had Australia progressing from the group. This is why I've always said Australia have legitimate round of 16 potential. They're not here at the tournament to just, I don't know, bring a koala for like a little children's zoo, you know, touch and go exhibit. They are here. They're not here for emu awareness. They're not here to raise funds for the Wombat Foundation. They're here to win some effing games and to put in some crunching effing tackles. And that's exactly what they did against the Turks. One thing that I think I even underrated about this Australian team was Harry Soutar's impact being back in the team. Because if you guys remember, he hadn't played since Bahrain in qualifying, which was a long freaking time ago. And he does something that very few other defenders in all of world football do, and that's make it a no-fly zone. He is basically Victor Wembanyama inside of the Australian box. You cannot score. You cannot hope or pray to score a crossed goal, a corner kick goal, with Harry Soutar in the box. And he also helps Australia the other way. He did win a couple headers himself off of Australian corners. His presence in this team is a complete game changer, and especially against Turkey. I guess I can go back and forth, oscillate between Australia takeaways, Turkey takeaways. I do want to focus on this game because I didn't do a match recap for it yesterday, but I guess what I'm trying to get at here is Australia are legit. They're just as good, if not better, if not scarier than what I originally thought. And if you're Paraguayan, if you are American, you should be very afraid, because beating Australia is always difficult. Ask Turkey. Turkey just got the Japan experience, where they have 80% possession. I don't even know what the official possession stat was. It was definitely 70%. 72% for Turkey. 1.3 XG, 30 shots. Sounds about right. Sounds about right when you're playing Australia. I have been screaming from the hilltops and very few people outside of Australians who were always, you know, very kind. I love the Australian fan base. Y'all are freaking awesome. Very few neutrals wanted to listen to me. I hope this game is a wake-up call. Or actually, maybe I don't. Maybe I hope people think this game is a fluke. I hope they continue to sleep on the Aussies and the Aussies make the round of 16. Actually, that's what I hope for. Incredible game. Also, Beach in goal, man. I mean, I still don't know if this was an injury to Matt Ryan. I don't know what happened. How many saves did he have? 8 saves. Patrick Beach, Melbourne City FC, he will not be there much longer. He will not be there much longer after this performance. Nestor Iracuna put the freaking burners on Demiral and Celik. Oh, it's honestly beautiful. I could not be happier for Australia, and I couldn't be happier for Asian football. Oh, that's what I was trying to do at the beginning. You can tell this is completely unscripted. Which results were completely deserved? Korea and Australia winning, in my opinion, completely deserved. Did Qatar deserve the point? No. But that's not Qatar's problem. That's Switzerland's problem for being complete frauds. And now that battle for Group B that the Swiss got going on, I mean, it's going to be very intense. And let me be clear, what is a bigger upset? I feel like I need to say this for some of the doubters. What is a bigger upset? Australia beating Turkey or Qatar drawing Switzerland? It is 1,000% Qatar drawing Switzerland. If you think anything else, you're disrespecting Australia, and I think probably overrating Turkey at the same time. Talking about the Turkish angle here for a second, literally my biggest fears, my biggest doubts were exposed. The spotlight was put on them. We saw it in 8K quality. I almost said 8K format. That doesn't make any sense. We saw it in 8K definition yesterday. No center forward. They have no center forward in this team. That versus Australia, this is why I thought Australia were going to get a draw. I downgraded this from a Turkish win to a Australian draw. Turns out I undersold the Australians. Even though I've been selling the pamphlets, I still undersold them. So shame on me for that. No center forward, no height whatsoever. This was not going to be very successful against Australia, but I kind of thought, because Turkey do have amazing players, they were going to find a way through, and this was going to be a 1-1, kind of like Australia, Japan, and qualifying. Wrong. Wrong. There were a couple, maybe two really good chances for Turkey, but Beach stepped up and said not today. So no center forward for Turkey, no height for Turkey, poor counter-attacking defense. The Iracunda goal was too easy. There are 3 Turkish defenders against Iracunda. Iracunda is an animal. He is a Tasmanian devil. I will give him that. Y'all know I love him. Buy stocks in this player as soon as you can. But he should not have gotten to the ball as easily as he did. He should not have been able to slice in between the oncoming, I believe it was Demiral who was playing help defense. It was far too easy. Far too easy. And there are a lot of other teams at this World Cup who are better at counterattacking than Australia. They're good at it. They're good. What have I also been screaming? Australia are a clinical team. Australia don't need a lot of chances. They don't. They are the opposite of Turkey. This is literally yin and yang, folks. This is high possession, slow buildup, wasteful, versus zero possession, direct, clinical. That is what this game was. And guess what? The clinical team came out on top. That freaking Metcalf screamer did not have that in my bingo card at all. Shout out to Metcalf, man. I think there were a lot of concerns when McGree went down, who was going to be able to step up in the midfield. Ocon actually got the start, and he did get the assist as well. I thought Aidan O'Neill was solid too, but Metcalf, man, take a bow. Absolute screamer. And that killed the game. You're not coming back. If Australia have a 2-0 lead against you, you're not coming back. So no center forward, no height, poor counterattacking defense. I think Turkey are in a world of hurt. I think they're in a lot of trouble against Paraguay, folks. A ton of trouble. Because Paraguay and Turkey are both failures after match day one. Who am I backing more to respond psychologically? Absolutely, it's Paraguay. And there was something that maybe I didn't pay enough attention to. Is Turkey under the weight of expectations? And what I mean by that is, I think Turkey were kind of a popular dark horse, as they often are, because they're talented. But you got to make the knockouts first. And maybe because Turkey and Turkish fans saw themselves as the clear favorites and I'm talking clear like water, favorites to win Group D, that might have been the worst possible thing that could have happened to them. I guess we're going to see. It might have just been a horrific display from Turkey, but this game kind of played out how I thought it was going to. I feel like I previewed it perfectly. I just didn't see Metcalf balling like that, and I didn't see Beach balling like that. And I guess I thought Turkey would at least produce a little bit more than what they ultimately did. So incredibly concerning performance for Turkey. Australia will be feeling so good going to this USA game. There was, you know, Kalinoglu saying Turkey's far more talented than Australia. He's correct. Just don't say that, dude. You know, don't give the Aussies bulletin board material. You know who else is giving them bulletin board material? The United States. Australia USA is now officially, well, it already was in my book, but for the neutrals, absolute must-watch game. Cancel your wedding, cancel your date plans, cancel, you know, that meeting with your client that might end up in a $10 million deal for you. Cancel all of it. Sit down, watch this game. It's going to be amazing. Australia plus 170 now to make the round of 16. If you like risk, I would take it. If you like risk, I would take it. Because Australia, they're kind of like Ecuador, where I don't see anyone killing them at this tournament. Beating them? Yes. Killing them? Just wiping the floor? The only way to do that is to score extremely early. And I will say, if Australia finish in the top two and they play any of the teams in Belgium's group, I would back them to keep a clean sheet at least in the first 45 minutes against any of those opponents. So I'm just saying, maybe something to watch. Okay, I guess I should talk about Haiti a little bit as well. Scotland did ultimately win the game 1-0. I thought it was a pretty good Haiti performance, except from Bellegarde. I thought he was quite poor. I thought Isidore was not really that effective either. Pirot probably should have scored that header. And Casemiro was trash when he came on. Those are my negatives for Haiti. Everything else, I would actually say I was pleasantly surprised. That left-hand side with Providence and experience were cooking the entire game. Like, and I'm kind of sitting here like, is some club going to come in for these Haitian players? You know, the ones that are playing really well. Because where are Providence and Experience playing? Aren't they like in the second French league or something, or an obscure Eredivisie club? I don't know. I mean, how expensive could they be? How much could a transfer really be? And I know they're not like super young players, but you could probably get them for like a million, like 2.5 mil max, you know what I'm saying? So I'm curious how many Haitians, how many players from smaller CONCACAF, smaller Asian nations get a move. I mean, you could ask the same thing for like some of these A-League players. Like, how much is Beach really going for? I don't know, but I would get it because today's price is not yesterday's price. So I would be on the phone right now with Melbourne. I don't want to see another performance. And I would say, we'll give you 4.5 million. Okay, maybe. Is that low for Beach? I don't know. He's 22 years old. He's playing in the A-League. Put the 4.5 million deal in now before he has another masterclass against anybody else. And now we're talking about a $12 to $15 million transfer move. I just wonder how many Iraqis, how many Haitians, Curaçaoans, Panamanians are going to get a move based on what happens at this World Cup. But I would say those two gentlemen completely balled out. I didn't think Scotland looked very good, but Scottish, I'm going to say fortune and grit ultimately won the day. Am I confident Scotland can get anything against Brazil and Morocco? No. This looks like two L's coming up for me. I didn't see anything that suggested they're going to be able to hang with the two big boys in this group. Did I see anything that makes me think Haiti can now hang with Brazil and Morocco? You know, weirdly, I'm feeling a little bit more confident about Brazil in the Brazil match. I think I have them scoring two goals in that game. That sounds like a lot because Haiti still just aren't very clinical. But I would say I'm 10% now stock up on Haiti. I'm a completely flat line with the Scots after that performance. Is that Europe's only win of the World? It is. Europe's only win of the World Cup so far is a 1-0 against Haiti. That's crazy. So yeah, I think honestly, Godspeed to both of these teams. It's going to be really, really tough for them to get something in Group C. I did jot down a couple things regarding my opinions that I think have changed after the games yesterday. Number one, in regards to Morocco, in my predictions, I have had them in the round of 32 losing narrowly to either Japan or Netherlands in like a 1-0 or on penalties, something like that. Based on what I saw yesterday against Brazil, I actually see them winning either of those games. Again, I'd like to see what Japan and the Netherlands look like in a couple hours. Hit subscribe. But as of now, I'm seeing Morocco as a quarterfinals team. My concerns for them is still not a lot of goals, Diop in the back. And now with Aguerd and Abde going out, that Moroccan 11 is still incredibly strong. But the depth isn't fantastic anymore. So there's still the possibility Morocco's playing one of the more elite sides at this World Cup. Maybe it goes to extra time. They got to pull Saibari. They have to pull Brahim Diaz. They have to pull El Hanous, whoever it may be. And there is now, you know, finally, we're talking about like man number 15, 16 on the Moroccan roster. Now we're seeing a drop-off in quality. So just something to pay attention to. But I see Morocco as quarterfinalists now. Number two opinion, there's no way Brazil win this World Cup. There's no way. That midfield is shocking. It is very good in transition. I will give them that because Bruno Guimarães is an underrated passer. They are very good when they win the ball back to find those pockets of space. But otherwise, in a fully like back and forth possession-based game, I don't know how many elite teams they can hang with. But I still see Brazil as beating all of the non-elite teams at this World Cup. So against Haiti, I expect to win because Haiti, while they are technical, while they are physical, they do make mistakes. A lot of the smaller CONCACAF nations do make mistakes. So I see Brazil still winning that one. I see them still beating Scotland, especially with the Billy Gilmore injury. Their round of 32 is, I'm feeling a little worse. Japan versus the Netherlands, again, barring Japan looking horrific today against the Dutch because no Endo now, no Mitoma, still don't know what to expect. I'm afraid. I'm very afraid now for Brazil, and I'm seeing semifinal as hard ceiling for them now. I cannot see a world where who would be the likely opponents. England is a team that I've seen. Croatia is a team that they could play. Germany is a team they could play. Mexico even is a team they could play. I'm not loving what I'm seeing from Brazil in the midfield specifically. Fullbacks actually kind of pleasantly surprised me, but I no longer see Brazil as possible champions. Again, my opinions are going to yo-yo throughout the entire tournament, so don't take anything I say seriously, but that's kind of how I'm feeling at the moment. And lastly, I think I got Turkey versus Egypt twice, I believe, in my predictions. Maybe once. Maybe I had Australia, Egypt. Yeah, and I have the Aussies winning on pens, I think. I had Turkey beating the Egyptians. I don't know anymore, man. I don't know anymore. I mean, they really struggled to create. Who's better, Australia or Egypt? I'm going to still maintain it is Australia. But Turkey, they look like they're in some serious freaking trouble right now. Last thing I'm going to leave you with. I really like the throw-in rule, how it's timed. Fire. Very good adaptation from FIFA. I think they did really well. The ref cam is awesome. The throw-in shot clock is awesome. Substitute shot clock is awesome. Water breaks are still the greatest sin in the history of the sport. But anyways, guys, I'm going to end this coffee chat right here. I hope you guys enjoyed. If you did, smash the like button. Remember to hit subscribe so you don't miss more World Cup content, match recaps, coffee chats, live watch-alongs throughout the entire World Cup. I'll be doing some collabs during the tournament as well. So a lot of stuff for you guys to look forward to. Make sure you hit subscribe. I appreciate you guys for watching or listening as always, and I'll see y'all in the next one.